And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing? What's going on?
We're doing okay, man. We're doing okay. Not much going on.
We are doing all right. We'll get into Joe's snap-by-snap breakdown of the Hall of Fame game coming up here in just a few minutes. Looking forward to that. Ian Safar, what's going on? How are we doing?
Happy Friday, everybody. Let's get the weekend going. Clinging on to our last little bit of summer.
Clinging on.
Barely, but clinging.
School's starting. Before we know it, the leaves will be falling.
Temperatures dropping.
Temperatures dropping.
Yep. Crisp nights, sun setting early, getting dark, all that fun stuff.
85 degrees today is going to feel like a nice winter day compared to what it's been around here lately. So we'll just appreciate what's going on right now in this time of year. Before we get rolling today, as I'm sure most of you are aware by now, Jared Stillman is no longer with us here at 102.5 The Game. And, you know, I just want to start on this. You know, I've had my run-ins with Jared. I think there are, Joe, some people that believe that, or have believed at times that, like, we, like, don't like Jared. Like, we legitimately don't like him. That's not true. I consider Jared a good friend of mine. And I think Jared is an incredibly talented radio broadcaster. And people say this when things like this happen of, like, I know they're going to do great things in their next stop. But, I know it. I know that Jared is going to be great at whatever comes next for him. So, I just want to kind of open things up here, Joe, by acknowledging Jared Stillman and, you know, the role that he's played here at this station, the role that he's played on our show. He is an incredibly talented human being and incredibly kind human being, and I wish Jared Stillman nothing but the absolute best as he moves forward here. And it's a sad day here at our station, but, you know, as he said earlier, and he's talked about this many times, you know, this day comes. So I want to start the show today by just acknowledging Jared Stillman, the role that he's played at this station, and the friendship that he is, I know, Joe, to both of us.
Hate that guy. He sucks. No, I'm kidding. No, we love Jared, and that's never changed. And no question. Well said on your part. I've got a few things I want to say at 7:45.
Yep. Oh yeah, we'll definitely get into that coming up at 7:45. Ian, you know, obviously I know you spent a long time with Jared.
Oh yeah, some would say too long.
Some would say. So whatever you'd like to take the opportunity to say now, I'll just give the floor to you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I started working on Jared and the GM. That was August of 2016. So yeah, I've been working with Jared off and on there. Well, pretty much as that role for a while. And we had talked, yeah, I don't know, I guess it was almost 10 years. Yeah. And when I moved to mornings, we kind of went over this whole thing. You know, I was in afternoons, moved to mornings because we lost our childcare. So moved some stuff around for life changes. But yeah, I mean, working with Jared was always, you knew he worked hard and he was going to be prepared and it was going to be an entertaining and fun show. So, you know, he's a good friend, and it sucks when your friend, you know, something like that happens. So you wish him the best, but you know, here I think DVD moving to the afternoons, I really liked what Adams brought to the table there. I think that show's been good. Jake Lyman, I don't know how familiar people are with Jake, but he's a nice young up-and-coming kid, does Vanderbilt women's play-by-play. He'll be added to the lineup, so that'll be fun. But yeah, going to miss hearing Jared in the afternoons for sure. And hearing him rant and rave about whatever, but I'm sure he'll be around not too far.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure we have not heard the last from Jared. So just wanted to start the show today by acknowledging that, acknowledging Jared and the role that he's played here at this station, and he will certainly be missed. There's no doubt about that, and we'll have a little bit more to say about that later in the program coming up as well. Joe, things did not go well last night for your beloved Detroit Lions in the Hall of Fame game, which I know is just devastating to you. You know, you're looking at the stats, and number one, apparently Trey Lance in the preseason is just a baller. out there. Even when he's not throwing the ball to the other team, which he did not do last night, looked pretty good. He was 13 of 20 for 120 yards, two touchdowns. Hendon Hooker threw six passes, 18 yards, one interception. Not to be outdone, Kyle Allen, 9 of 14, 91 yards, two picks. So a total of 104 yards passing for the beloved Detroit Lions last night.
Yeah, pretty ugly game. The Lions fumble the opening kickoff, and then they fumble the opening punt of the second half. So, they showed the little handshake afterward, and Harbaugh was being his normal goofball weirdo self. And Dan Campbell looked like he wanted to punch him in the face. But, I watched the whole game, you know, really mostly to wait to see, you know, how Hendon Hooker would do. You know, his pick was actually a fantastic throw. On a post, I think it was like a fourth and short, and it was a beautiful throw right into the hands of Dominic Lovett. People may remember him from Georgia. Yeah. And he kind of let it pop out of his hands and get ripped away by the DB. So that one was a good one, but yeah, man, I don't know. It's, you know, they've been alternating with the twos and three. So Kyle Allen got the start because Hendon Hooker started the scrimmage. So maybe some of it is that, but it was just too much one read and tuck still from Hendon, you know. I was kind of disappointed with a few of those where it's like, you actually had time. You got to get through those progressions, and he didn't. But Kyle Allen threw a couple terrible picks. So that's probably the best news for Hendon Hooker is that it's not like Kyle Allen said, this is my job as QB2 of the Lions. But it was too bad because I still feel like there's definitely something there with Hendon Hooker, but you know, he needs to get it moving here.
Well, I told you yesterday off the air, like if he can't separate himself throughout camp from Kyle Allen in a competition, then that's a problem. I think that probably tells you at this point what you need to know if he can't separate himself from Kyle Allen. And look, I'm not trying to totally tear down Kyle Allen. But I think we know at this point, you know, having been in the league for 7 years, what Kyle Allen is, and it's not a very good quarterback. So if Hooker can't get through this camp and by the end of it really separate himself as the clear number two for Detroit, then that is not a very good sign to me on where his NFL career is headed.
No, I agree. It's always, like I said, I mean, even with this, it's twos, threes, even twos. There are times, I mean, if you know, in the NFL, you're playing with twos. If you have one glaring weak spot, and you probably do, you know, on that offensive line, you watch preseason games, you do see a lot. To me, I see a lot more low-end roster D linemen beating low-end roster O linemen.
Yep.
I think that's a kind of a feature of that, those parts of the rosters, which sucks for those QBs. But at the same time, man, I mean, that's the opportunity you have. So you have to make the most of it. So it was too bad. Other than that, yeah, there just wasn't much. I mean, the Lions played no starters. They did play the rookie Isaac Tesla, who I think is going to be pretty good from Arkansas. But Trey Lance, man, Trey, I got to say, preseason game, take it for what I think Trey Lance is giving himself a chance to, at this point, if you can stick as a QB2 in this league, given all that's happened with him, that's pretty good. He did look good to me.
So did you watch the entire Hall of Fame game? I would love to know how many people out there joined Rex Road and watched the entire Hall of Fame game last night.
Yeah, probably a small crowd. I will say, you know, because we were sitting here and it's like, I mean, we're close here to shipping a kid off, kid number two, to college, and it's like, and we were talking about it, it's like, I mean, how many more football games are we gonna watch? Watching any more games together. I guess we got to watch this freaking Hall of Fame game together, you know. So that was part of it. It's like, well, gosh, I guess we should watch this football game because, you know, I mean, there's more preseason games coming, but of course, he's heading up to the land of the Lions to be miserably disappointed when they go 9-8 this year, but. So that was part of it. But, yeah, I mean, I wanted to watch. If Hendon Hooker started the first half, and then I probably would have, you know, gone to bed, but I wanted to, you know, watch him and see if he could make a go of it. It's too bad that last throw couldn't have been hauled in because it was actually finally a really good throw from him.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that competition shakes out throughout camp here and if Hendon Hooker ends up being the clear number two. We talked to Charles Robinson yesterday. A lot of eyes on former Tennessee quarterbacks in the preseason this year. You know, I'm sure the first snap that Joe Milton takes down there for the Dallas Cowboys. Going to be a fun one. So we'll look forward to all that. Speaking of, you know, one quick note on Tennessee real quick. Joe, on the recruiting front, they land a five-star athlete. Now, he's a running back, but he has been listed as an athlete. So Salisi Moa out of the state of Utah, and it looked like he was going to stay at home in Utah. And Tennessee and Josh Heupel went in there and snatched him away, which, depending on where you look now, Joe, has got them either right on the verge of a top 10 recruiting class for next year or now firmly in the top 10, which we've always talked about how important that is, and we'll see, you know, how many of those players 3 years from now are actually still on the team.
But that's good, man. That's it's what good. You got to do. You know, like you said, I mean, the blue chip ratio, that's still, as of now, that stuff is still playing out into mattering in the bottom line. So, I mean, that's a good development. But yeah, it's just like this year for sure. And moving forward, like, let's see some more of these guys kind of emerge, you know, after a year or two of development and really make a difference for the Vols.
John Robinson, former Titans general manager, sat down for an hour yesterday with Chase and Big Joe, and they got into all sorts of different topics. We'll get to some that stood out to us coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Do you think people realize how much she truly cares about that franchise and that team and now this city? Because I do think she does. I mean, she wouldn't be doing this.
There's no doubt.
Right.
She loves the team. I mean, it's been in her family for forever, right? Yeah. And there's nothing more than – and I'm not trying to speak for her. It's just I think that she wants to bring a championship to this city and to this state. And – she cares about it. She really, really cares about it. And I certainly felt that in my time there. And I was extremely appreciative of her passion to chase greatness.
That's John Robinson yesterday with Chase and Big Joe. Sat down for about an hour. Pretty interesting conversation yesterday on the program. Joe, if I could ad-lib a little bit there for John Robinson as well. I'm also very happy that she is still paying me to not be the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. Very, very happy that Amy's still cashing that check. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is first of all, good job. I mean, he stayed for an hour. I enjoyed the conversation. I thought Chase and Bay Joe did a good job.
Yep.
I think that any of the questions that reasonably you wanted asked, again, like, why are you such a dumb head, is not one of the questions that should have been, you know, I mean, I think that they ask good questions, as everybody I think would know, but just to be clear, like, he's, you know, when people get fired like him in a job like that, they sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
It's still in effect. You know, he's still getting paid. So, yeah, like, there was never going to be any, like, dirt or anything but John, quote unquote, taking the high road. I mean, right. You'd be completely out of your mind not to take the high road. I thought that it was still interesting. There was some interesting conversation around some of the stuff, you know, that happened, some of the big moments people want to talk about, you know, and I think it's just like any time, whether it's you're talking to him or you're just talking about him, it is complicated. And like I think you said yesterday, Robbie, it's like when you still add everything up together, he's the second best GM the Titans have had after this franchise has had after, you know, after Floyd Reese. Now, again, you go back in the 70s, and it was like, I mean, I think really kind of like Bum Phillips was kind of the gene, right? Like,
but
it's
definitely
a different
specifically
setup.
In Nashville. Yeah,
exactly. Specifically in Nashville. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Easily. So, but yeah, it was, I thought it was a good conversation. And honestly, if I had one takeaway, cause it's, again, it's not like we learned anything earth shaking about any of these moves or anything, but one takeaway, I've thought this before, but again, as he went through it, we see him doing some things. If he wants to do media, he'd do well. You know, I think he could be good. Now, it sounds like he wants to stay in. He's doing some different things, consulting.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, the fact that he's been interviewing for jobs means he probably wants to get back you know, in to some extent. But also, I thought he had some really interesting stuff about family life and life balance and things like that that were getting real tough for him in this job, as you would expect they would be for anybody in a job like that.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, he talked about how, you know, when you're a general manager, you're in the front office of an NFL team, you just miss a lot of stuff with your kids and with your family. And, you know, you get back and then you kind of take stock of it. And you're like, man, I've missed a lot. So, yeah, I wonder how that affects him moving forward. He talked about he's had, you know, he brought up the Jets interview that he had this past offseason, the Jags interview he had this past offseason. And I think he even said before all that that there were some other opportunities that he just didn't feel like the timing was right on. So, you know, I'm interested to see what he does. You know, he also threw out the idea, Joe, of, you know, like maybe starting a podcast, because he was like, you know, everybody starts a podcast now, so why not? And maybe get some general managers on and kind of open them up and people can see what they are. So, yeah, like I'm interested to see what he does next. Like, let's say he gets to a point, you know, where, you know, the contract with the Titans is finally up and he's not getting money anymore and, you know, his family's growing up now. Let's say he wants to be all the way back in, and he's all the way back in and trying to be a general manager. Does anybody hire him? That's going to be the thing. Like, is as time goes on and there's more separation from his tenure, is that a good thing or a bad thing for him in interview process? Like, you know, if, you know, another couple of years go by and it's been 5 years since he's had a general manager job and since he's really been in the league on an official capacity, what's that going to mean for him? Because, you know, we've talked about this 1,000 times, Joe, but for whatever reason, you just don't see a whole lot of general managers get second chances at general manager jobs in the National Football League.
You don't. I think, to answer your question, I would think that if you're the more you're out, the harder it makes it for you.
I would agree.
Because a lot of this really is just a daily being all over the personnel in this league. You know, being all over the scouting of college players and just having that sort of like as like, you know, second nature knowledge, right? Just because you're in it. And if you're not in it, you're just losing touch with like, I mean, the churn is constant in this league. So I think that's probably part of it. So like, for example, the Titans obviously have a couple former GMs who are now in their front office. And that's probably, realistically, based on the history of this league, that's probably like the best. That's probably what they're going to do now, right? Is be part of a front office. But if the Titans completely, if this turns into absolute magic and they start drafting like the Detroit Lions did for a few years, you know, like do one of those guys get another look somewhere to be the head guy as a GM? I mean, that's your best hope, is to latch on somewhere, be part of something fantastic, part of something that's just like, whoa, look at what those guys did. And then I think you'd potentially have another chance, but it's very rare. But being part of it, being part of a front office, being in the game, you know, that's, like he said yesterday, and, you know, he's a linebackers coach at Nicholls State, and he gets a chance to be like an area scout for the Pats, and you just kind of work your way up from then on all the way through being a GM. He did the job to some capacity. So if you love doing that, I think certainly he could get a front office job of some kind.
Well, you know, and, you know, obviously yesterday the AJ Brown stuff came up. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. You know, he was asked about some of the draft picks, be it Isaiah Wilson or Treylon Burks or Caleb Farley, and he didn't say a ton about those guys, Joe, as you mentioned, and, you know, all the kind of the decision-making that it went into it. You know, he talked about Burks and just the injuries that he's dealt with, and kind of the same thing with Farley of just, you know, you draft a guy, and I think he said with Farley, you know, at one point when he was healthy, he was viewed as maybe being a top 10 guy in terms of talent, and they found him in the 20s, so they felt like that was good value, and then it just didn't work. Well, that's about all he said on, you know, like the draft pick part of it, which I didn't expect him to go in there and say much more than that. But, you know, I think a lot of people were really interested to see, you know, what his thoughts were going to be on those three specifically, Isaiah Wilson, Farley, and Burks.
Yeah, the Isaiah Wilson, he made the analogy of like a dating app, and then like the person shows up different than the picture on the dating app. I thought that was interesting.
You got catfished by Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? Yeah. Is that show still on?
It's a great question. I don't know.
Like MTV, right?
Yeah.
I saw a thing about MTV on Twitter. It was like 43rd birthday for MTV. Thanks for 14 amazing years of music. That was pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah, that was funny. I actually, his answer on Farley, I mean, that was the only answer he gave where I was like, eh, you know, because he's talked about all the stuff that happened to him after.
Yeah.
And obviously the horrible tragedy too is part of it after. But I mean, I think there may have been a little bit of downplaying of like the concerns that were staring everyone in the face about him coming into the draft, right?
No, but Sciatica. I think he also didn't bring up Sciatica.
He didn't. He did not. He didn't make enough as he probably should have about Sciatica. I do think that the answer of that, and I don't know if we have that. Ian has that, but I think he did confirm in that answer to those guys, basically that like the Jeff Simmons success was a factor in trying to do it again, right? I mean, we make all these jokes like, oh, if somebody's hurt, John Robinson, like rubbing his hands, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, I think that is one thing with that answer is that he sort of acknowledged, like, look what happened with Jeff. He has an ACL. You get him at a spot you probably wouldn't have gotten before. So the same thing with Caleb Farley. It's just that, man, there's such a big difference. And again, we've talked about all this a million times, but back stuff, man. No one ever says, you know, I used to have back problems. That's
true.
That's not a used to thing. I have back problems my entire life.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take some of your thoughts on John Robinson's interview with Chase and Big Joe. Yesterday, he did discuss the A.J. Brown trade in that situation. We'll get to some of his comments on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. You can help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615, sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. John Robinson sat down for an hour yesterday with Chase and Big Joe, and they got into a lot of different things relating to his tenure with the Titans. But, Joe, I think a lot of people were very interested to see what John Robinson would say on the A.J. Brown front. And obviously we spend, you know, just an unbelievable amount of time discussing the A.J. Brown trade. Since John Robinson has been fired and since he's gone to Philadelphia, done what he's done, things have gone the way they've gone for the Titans in the aftermath of that one. Here is what John Robinson had to say yesterday on the A.J. Brown front.
That's a topic everybody probably is tuning in to hear about. And I would love to give in the details. I can't go into the details on it, but there was just a lot of discussion that went into that decision. Ultimately, it was my responsibility to make the decision, you know. And again, if I had one of those mulligans, I would probably do that. And that's nothing against Traylon or anybody else. But I think AJ's went on to have a great run. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of where he's at and what he's been able to accomplish. But sure, I mean, in hindsight, if you had a do-over, I mean, I'd be an idiot to sit here and say, no, I'd do it again. Like, no, you'd do it different. But we made the decision that we made, and then, you know, the rest is what it is.
When you say – if you can't talk about it, I understand it. When you say we, who is we?
Well, anytime you make a decision, right, it's collectively as an organization. There's a lot of people involved, right? It's not like – it's like when the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator, when they call a play on Sunday – it's not like they're shooting from the hip and they're like, I'm just going to run this play, even though you haven't practiced it, you haven't talked about it, you haven't watched it on film. Like, you go through every scenario with the organization, and it's the same thing in roster building. It's like you're going through, you know, your free agency stuff, you're going through trade proposals, you're going through draft prep, and you talk internally and you meet and you know, you come up with scenarios. All right, we can do A, we can do B, we can do C. And as a team, and I think I said this at the press conference after, you know, we made the move, it's like we collectively we made a decision to do this, and that's what we did.
That was John Robinson on the AJ Brown trade yesterday, Joe. What did you make of the way he handled that and the answer to the question I think a lot of people were wanting to know yesterday?
Yeah, well, I think the part of it that some people need to hear, actually Chase and Big Joe in particular, is, you know, ultimately it was, you know, it was my decision. Then he went into collectively, and like Big Joe said, who is we? Later, I think it was right after that, Big Joe asked him like about the Vrabel reaction and stuff. Yeah. Obviously, you know,
he didn't really want to get much into that.
No, but he didn't. You know, the thing is, but again, I do think some people took that, the Vrabel reaction, like Vrabel sitting there, it's like, okay, who are we going to draft? And then it's like, hey, Mike, we just traded AJ. You did what? I mean, of course they all knew what was going on. They all talked about it. You have to have the blessing of the owner. I mean, there were people seriously thought, like, yeah, especially after Amy fired him, like John just like did this, like got on his phone in the bathroom. Okay, all right, here we go. I'm making the trade. I know, like, we got to do this fast.
Need a distraction.
They're listening.
Team.
Yeah. You know, I mean, of course, Amy, of course, this is the argument we've gotten in this with Chase and me, Joe, about like why, you know, John being blamed for this, you know, it's on the owner. It's like, I mean, if you're going to say it that way, then again, every move that's ever made in the NFL, let's not blame any of the GMs. Let's just blame the owners. I promise you, none of these GMs do things like, remember the Arthur Blank thing when they drafted Penix?
Oh, yeah.
And we even talked about it. It was like, it looked like Arthur Blank's like, hey, what's going on, guys? What are you doing here? Right? You drafted a quarterback? But it's like, of course, that's stupid. Like, obviously, the owner knows. So Amy gave the blessing. But like John said there, hear it, listen to it. You know, ultimately, they have to put their trust in him. The owners, unless we're talking just, and I know we have this going on right now with Cleveland, right? We got Jimmy Haslam out there. I basically said, yeah, the GM did it. And no one believing him because of, you know, the way that those guys reacted when they drafted Shedeur Sanders. But for 99.99% of this, it's like the owner's like, okay, I'm paying you a crap ton of money what do we do? You know, like sometimes an owner might say, I'm not paying it, but this was his decision with them all collectively talking about it. And good for him for saying that, you know, if I could have a mulligan, I'd do it over. I mean, some people I don't think would say that. I think some people might just be like, well, yeah.
Even,
you know,
doubling
just
down, he's like, yeah, I'd be an idiot to do it the same way again.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like, there's nothing to me learned in that, but just some of the different conversations around that just that want to twist your brain into circles when it's very simple. I mean, the GM is the one negotiating. They were very upset with AJ's agent. Then they came back and said, no, that's not okay. You know, and when it comes down to it, AJ and his agent end up, you know, much better for this. They won, right?
I mean, yeah.
And of course, no one could know at the time that things would go as poorly with Treylon Burks as they did. But I give him credit for kind of talking about that as much as you probably could given the situation.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman to the program. Kenny, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, good friends. I had a comment on the interview, but first of all, you was talking about Caleb Farley, and you said some kind of word like sciatica. What did that mean?
Well, it's supposed to be sciatica, but Rex Rhodes misfired on that a couple years ago. Called it
Sciatica. Okay. I did not know if that was a secret word that was going back and forth. It was like, oh, I get it now.
Oh, yeah.
May of 2027 is going to be an amazing date, and there'll probably be a lot of jockeying over who can get the first actual interview with John Robinson, because that's when he gets his last check from the Titans. Yesterday it was like Joe Dubin, John Robinson, and you needed a Saturday Night Live interpreter to tell you what John Robinson was trying to say, because he was, in a way, saying, of course I'm not an idiot. This is what really happened. But until you get that you know, last payment, you're not going to be able to hear exactly. Rex Rowe, this was before you were at town, but Robbie, did you ever get to go to a John McClane dinner when he was hosting?
I did not go to a dinner, but I've heard some great stories.
Those were the best things that ever happened to me. It opened my eyes because I sort of think I'm well-informed. I listen all day, read everything. I know about 30% of every story because we don't know the pettiness behind the scenes, the hurt feelings from the owners, the infighting, the jealousy among the players. Well, he makes $100 more than me. When you start hearing stories like that, you go, oh, my goodness. We don't know what the linchpin of some of these stories are. It's just sometimes simple pettiness. So until we hear all the behind-the-scenes things, you sort of have to piece it together. But y'all do a great job on the station giving us what we can give. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, like it's – I will say, I mean, I do wonder, you know, when the time comes where the Titans are no longer paying him, Joe, is there ever a point where he decides to just like – lay? I mean, he said – it was interesting. I did find that interesting because when they first asked him the question about AJ, he's like, you know, I can't go into details. I would love to go into all the details is what he said, but I just can't do it right now. So I wonder if that day ever comes.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. You know, like I'd be surprised if all of a sudden he'd be like, all right, guys, here we go.
Some of that depends on what his next stop in his career is.
Yeah, exactly. Here is everything Amy said. Here's our whole text chain, okay, when she forced me to do it. No, yeah, I don't – there's probably a little less hesitation here and there, but, yeah, especially if you're going to be in this business. Right. The NDA is one thing, but also it's like, oh, this guy totally burns people that he works with and tells all afterwards. So no thanks. You can go look at another organization. We don't want you in this one. Yeah. Maybe at some point, like retired and writing a tell all book. Although I also just don't think that's his style. So I don't think there's going to be like a gold mine there. I'd be surprised. And also, is Kenny trolling me on Skiatika? Is he trolling me?
I hope so.
Skiatika.
That was pretty good. What is that word? Skia what? Would you guys? Yeah. It'll never die.
It will never die. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A prominent player in the NFL looks like they're fed up with their situation. What's the next step, and should the Titans get involved? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Joe, Terry McLaurin, as we've talked about, is in a heavy contract dispute with the Washington Commanders. And apparently, as of yesterday, he has had enough and has requested a trade. So McLaurin has not been in training camp to this point. He has reported he has not been on the field. And apparently, he's been holding in. And then, like, I guess after practice, has just been walking out there and signing autographs for fans for like 30 minutes per day and then going back inside the building. But it's not been on the field to this point. Doesn't sound like there's been any sort of meaningful progress on a contract with him as well. And now he has requested a trade. So it's one thing to request a trade. We'll see if Washington actually decides to make a trade here or what that situation looks like. But we've talked about Terry McLaurin and the contract dispute with Washington. There have been some varying opinions on this from Titans fans, but now that he's officially requested a trade, does it make any sense at all in your mind, Joe, from the Titans standpoint to go to target Terry McLaurin? And the other side of that, which I think is way more of a tough sell, the Terry McLaurin part of this, do you want any part of a long-term extension with the Tennessee Titans?
I'd say probably no on both of those. 29 years old, he's making – so he's 18th among receivers right now. His AAV rate is about 23 mil. He's been trying to get a new deal for a while. Like you said, he's basically out there signing other guys and saying, hey, don't blame me. These guys suck. But here, yeah, I'll definitely take a picture with you. No, I don't. I just don't think the timing makes sense with the Titans. You know, I understand any Titans fan will say, "Well, they need playmakers." Yeah, I agree, but he's not going to change the math on this year's team, right? I mean, look, Ridley McLaurin. Yeah, that could be interesting. But I still think that the Titans are so far away. So now you're going to pay him a ton right now as he gets into his 30s when you're trying to turn things around. I don't think it makes any sense. Obviously, a trade's a trade, so it's not, you know, I mean, a trade is what it is ultimately, and he'd have to live with whatever that is. But I'm sure he would rather go to a place that has a chance to win and be successful right now.
Yeah, like I from his standpoint, like the Titans would be toward the bottom of the list of a destination where I think he'd be looking to go. You know, on the one hand, he's gone through so much in Washington in terms of like they've just been so bad for so long, and now they're finally good, right? And they get the NFC title game last year, and it looks like they've got the quarterback part of this figured out, and there's new ownership in there, and it looks like the organization is completely turning around. And you're in the middle of a contract dispute. So, I mean, that part of it's got to be pretty frustrating for him. I'm interested to see if there's actually a resolution here. You know, guys have requested trades before and then end up working out a deal at that point. So I'm interested to see if that happens here. Like, from the Titans standpoint, I tend to lean more with you. Like, he's about to be 30 years old with where you're at with your organization right now. I'll keep saying it. And look, maybe DK or IO Manor turn into with this guy, we'll see. But they need a young stud receiver at some point. And I'm not saying you can't have Calvin Ridley and Terry McLaurin and also eventually draft a stud receiver. But like I just think from a timing perspective right now, I would not be all that interested in putting together draft capital or whatever it would take to go get Terry McLaurin at this moment, when you're so light on talent anyway, and you're trying to build through the draft at 30 years old, I would probably not enter my hat into the sweepstakes if I'm the Titans.
Yeah. Well, month away from turning 30. So again, like the new deal. So you get a new deal that starts when he turns 31,
Yeah.
and it's just the history of receivers at that age. Also, Nikki Jabala, who covers the Commanders for the Athletic, you know, she cited sources saying that before he requested a trade, several teams called about the possibility, and they were all told the same thing: we're not trading him. So I still feel like they'll figure this out. I mean, this is an indication that, you know, that obviously he's not happy with I mean, negotiations are at an impasse, but I still feel like they're going to figure something out here with him. It's just, you know, when it comes down to it, I think everybody probably expects them to take a step back this year. I do, just because, I mean, you're talking about the NFC Championship game, right? But if you're them, I think it's you have to consider this right now. I mean, you have to be all in, I think, you know. You're going to have Jaden Daniels for a long time, but you have an opportunity right now to do something. So I still think it's going to end up winding its way back to that, just like Trey Hendrickson now, who has gone back and he's doing the Holden thing, and that's going to end up working out just like the other. Even as cheap as the Bengals organization is, it'll end up working out.
Trevor on the text line says it goes against their whole draft, develop, and retain model that they're going for. Plus, he's old, and the Titans aren't just a couple of pieces away from doing anything meaningful. It's a fart no for me on a possible trade. It's from Trevor on the text line. Mo says the way our wide receiver room looks, give the Commanders anybody and all the draft picks and a bunch of money for Terry McLaurin. So Mo's all in on the idea of going to get Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, you're acting like he's Justin Jefferson, okay? Like if we're talking about a guy like that at 26, okay, then all
I'm all
right,
in. Yeah.
then yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, the guy he's good. He's very good. He's not worth that level of give it all up, man. I mean, Scary Terry, great nickname. Good player, but yeah, again, well, so do that. So give him anybody, give him draft picks, give him money, give him all this stuff. And what is your bottom line payoff for that?
9-8.
They're not going to go 9-8 if they get him. That'd be
best case.
I mean, my goodness, if that was the case, I
might raise an eyebrow. You're all in for 9-8. Let's get there, baby.
Holy cow. 9-8. I mean, 9-8 does sound pretty amazing, doesn't it?
It does. It does, especially what we've been dealing with around here the last few years. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I still, from purely a Titans perspective, I think the answer at wide receiver, and we'll see what Ridley does this year because, you know, Ridley's going to have to be a big, big important piece of this for the next couple of years. But I still feel like if Cam Ward looks like he's going to hit and he plays well this year, and even if he doesn't play well the next year, I still think one of the most immediate things that you're looking for if you're the Titans via the draft next year is to add that young, dynamic wide receiver. And again, you know, I'm not discounting the possibility that maybe one or both of Io Manor and DK could be good players out there. I have my doubts that either one of them is going to be like a bona fide number one wide receiver in the league, and I still think that's the next step for the Titans to find in the draft.
Yeah, listen, and the thing is, I mean, there are, you know, as we've talked about, there are some guys. I mean, the receiver draft of 20, and I know it's just this far away, but the receiver draft of 2027 is going to be absurd. I mean, I really like the top two guys could be receivers. They could be more coveted than any quarterback coming out that year. I mean, I say that and it's like probably not, right? Probably not. Like probably they'll be, especially we'll if Arch is gonna wait a year. But I mean, you know, there are the receivers, the ability to draft a difference making receiver to me has increased. I think that as we've talked about before, there are kids now who sort of fit could go either way, and it's like everybody's like, man, don't be a running back because a running back you'll last, you know, they'll cut you the first chance they get, and so I think that and then just also again the scheme translation and the back and forth that's much more translatable. There's a lot of talent out there. I mean, I think the Titans have actually done pretty well, at least in terms of talent level with the fourth rounders they got this year. So, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think that next year, pretty high in that draft, you're going to be talking about a receiver.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans, and we will do that coming up next. Plus, maybe the Titans coaching staff getting a little bit more respect than we think around the league. We'll get into that as well. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, Nashville's original hot chicken bursting with heat and flavor. There's nothing better than the original. For a limited time, grab half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.